do your best to stay with us and enjoy it. A lot of hard work. And the fellowship would do you good. Next Sunday, Brother David Murata will be here. And we hope that that God will bless in a special way. We'll be in Boston. We appreciate your prayers. One of the things that many times troubles me is that is what I was talking about before service, or in the beginning of the service, that many times people won't stay with me long enough to give me a chance to teach and to show them the things that God has told me. And they get mad at something and they'll leave. Or they'll get puffed up and they'll walk away from it. They won't come back. But I remember a lady who told me one time, she said, "I can't remember a time when I came to your meetings with questions in my mind that if I would just sit there and listen, it wasn't long that somehow, some way in your sermon, you would answer my question." You got to remember that if you have a sincere need to know anything and we're having spiritual services, the Spirit of God is going to meet that need. And a scripture that may be applied in one way to one person may be applied by the Spirit in another way to another person. They both have their needs met. Because God specializes in meeting the needs of His people. There are two scripture verses in the Bible that have always astounded me. One of them is the statement that Jesus made when He was outside of Jerusalem and He wept over the city. But that He wept over the city and He cried, "Oh, Jerusalem." Now, Jerusalem is a type of the church. It's God's people. And He wept over Jerusalem. He said, "Oh, Jerusalem." He said, "How often?" You get that? How often? How many times is often? Is there a limit to often? Is it 50 times? 20 times? 100 times? Is there a limit to the word often? Not at all. Yet Jesus said, "How often I would have gathered you together under my wings to protect you, to take care of you, to shield you from many dangerous positions and things out there." He said, just like a mother hen would do it. We watched that with the birds this week. We saw that again, little bird in a nest. And here are these little old robins, I mean, that wouldn't even think of taking on a man, except if you go to their nest. You didn't hear what I said. Little old bluebird flying around out there wouldn't even think. You walk to that bluebird, he'd take off and fly. He wouldn't think of tackling you. The other day I was walking across the barnyard and I saw a little baby bluebird on the ground trying to learn how to fly. And I went over to pick up that old baby bluebird to try to pick it up and help it go. I can tell you right now, boy, that mother, little old thing, about 3.5 inches long, headed right for me. Headed right on down, come right straight, right, get right up here. I could just cut away and go back up, come back again and just keep doing it. You're threatening its nest. You go out here and you find an old mother hen, and she won't tackle you no time. She won't turn on you, but you go out to her little ones and you watch her. That little old mother hen put her life right on the line. Jesus said, "How often I would have gathered you together as a mother hen would gather her little ones under her wings." Now we all like that, don't we? Father, I pray this morning as I go into this message, you laid it on my heart, you burned it like flint in my soul. And I know the devil would like to steal it from us by uneasiness and restlessness and whatever. But I pray that you'll quiet the children and you'll touch the hearts of the parents so they can hear what we're going to say. That the words will lodge in their heart and that they will be strength to them in the coming days. In Jesus' name, amen. Everyone should know the next line. Probably one of the most devastating statements that Jesus ever made. He said, "How often I would have gathered you together under my wings, as a mother hen would gather her little ones." Next line, "But you would not let me." Oh, brother, stare. That must be wrong. Everybody lets Christ mother them, don't he? Everybody lets Christ. Why, that's ridiculous to think that somebody would reject, and especially us. Not us. We would never say no to Jesus, would we? Who was he talking to? Jerusalem? To people of God? to ones to whom the promise was given? He said, how often I would have gathered you together under my wings. Every time you need that, the devil tells you you need that smoke. If you just let me, I'd put some more fire inside of you. Every time the devil tells you you got to eat that extra food or spend that money foolishly, if you just let me, I'd solve your problem for you. I often tell a story of Dancing Tommy Walker. I call him that because that's what he was called. Dancing Tommy Walker. His name was Tommy Walker, but he danced all the time. I mean all the time. I mean the only time I never saw him dance was when he was in bed, and I didn't see him there. Ain't no telling what he was doing in the bed. But I seen him come out of his room in the morning. He's a dancing. He's a dancing. Stand at the breakfast table while he's eating, dancing. Brushing his teeth, he'd be dancing. Go to his car, he'd be dancing. Getting out of his car, he'd be dancing. In the store, he was dancing. He's a dancing. Praise the Lord. Dancing Tommy Walker. I went to the grocery store with him one time. He wouldn't even buy a can of peas without saying, well, Lord, shall I buy them peas? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody said he was a fool. He might have been. Good one, though. Another verse that Jesus said one time that I preached many times in a scripture, in a statement. I call it the saddest statement that Jesus ever made. The saddest statement that Jesus ever made. He made many sadder ones now. He said, foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, son of man hath nowhere to lay his head. That's a sad statement. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's a sad statement. But that's not as sad as the one he made in John chapter 5, verse 40. He was talking about life and about the blessings of life. And he said to the people of God again, he said, you will not come to me that you might have life. Now, every parent knows about that. Every parent who has worked and struggled to try to make their child grow decent, avoid the pitfalls of life, had to stand by and watch that child deliberately go blatantly away, doing the thing that they know is going to cause heartache and trouble, but they do it anyhow. Here stands the Lord our God saying, how often I would have gathered you, but you won't come to me, that you might have life. Now, brother Pablo was the one that got me on this subject today. He wanted to talk with me a little bit about divine healing. And I want to say something about this. Salvation, divine healing, the second coming of Jesus Christ, sanctification, justification, holy living, heaven, hell, righteousness, judgment, truth, mercy, grace, these are Bible doctrines. They do not depend on what I preach or what you believe. They are settled. They are there. A man said to me some time ago, he said, you take Oral Roberts now. You guys believe in divine healing. Look at Oral Roberts. I said, mister, Oral Roberts did not establish divine healing. Oral Roberts can die of cancer. Christ still heals. Come on, people. Divine healing is not based on whether Grandma got healed or Aunt Susie, who lived a good life, died with cancer. It has nothing to do with that. It's based on the living, vital Word of a living God. Hallelujah. Praise of whom did happen. Somebody say amen. Yes, sir. We have to go by the Word of God. That's how we know God saves people. I mean, how many people that you know really believe you are saved? I mean, you know it, don't you? But how many people believe that you are saved? Very few people except saved people know what it means to be saved. Come on! Can't explain it, don't know how it happened, don't hardly know what took place, you just know it happened. Somebody say amen. Used to sing a song years ago, I was there when it happened, and I guess I ought to know. And it's the truth. Salvation is based on the Word of God. Teresa quoted this morning. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Another place, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why, some folk walk around, they look at Ed, they say, why, he's still wearing that brown shirt. He's still got them brown pants on. What do you mean saved? Well, he can say, I quit smoking. That don't mean nothing. A lot of folk ain't saved and they don't smoke. Come on, people. So quitting smoking don't mean you're saved or not saved. I do believe saved folks should quit smoking, though. And I believe smokers should get saved. That was good now. That was good. Y'all sit any way you want to, but that was good. Come on. Yeah, that was real good. Uh-huh. Yeah, man. Praise the Lord. Come on, I believe that saved people do certain things because they are saved, not to be saved, but because they are saved. Divine healing. For years, they used to call divine healing faith healers. You know what the devil did? Divine healing has always been one of God's greatest demonstrations of grace and mercy. And he's always done it when people got in gross sin and were so burdened down with guilt that the only way they could rise above it was to have a demonstration of God's mercy. Lord God Almighty. Help me, Jesus. You don't hear me. I'm going to quit. I hate to waste this kind of stuff on a bunch of dumbbells. Amen. Think about the children of Israel for one particular incident in the wilderness. When they had disobeyed God and they were so blatantly in sin until God sent serpents among the people. And the Bible said the serpents bit the people and much people of Israel died. 30-some thousand, God wiped them out. Bam, just like that. Because of their sin. They were so overwhelmed with their sin that they couldn't even hardly cry out for mercy. And finally, after God pronounced that judgment, all of a sudden they begin to cry out, and God said to Moses, raise up that serpent in the wilderness. Amen. And tell those people lying there with the fever in their body, lying there with death in their body, to look at the serpent. Just rise up and look. Just look. Just put your eyes on it. Hallelujah. He said, whosoever will look shall live. What a dumb, stupid message. Somebody laying there dying with poison in their body. I just watched 30,000 others die from the same thing. And in the midst of that chaotic condition, a simple message of mercy. Look and live. Hallelujah. And God, by an act of mercy, reestablished his power of grace. Lord, did I just say that? Did I just say that? Acts chapter 4, verse 23. I want you to listen close to this. And if you can turn fast enough, it'd be fine. But I want you to hear this. Acts chapter 4, verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own country and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hath made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. Do you know how God made them? By the word of his power. He just spoke them into existence. Come on! Said, thou hast made the heavens. God created the heavens. And God said, and the earth. The heavens and the earth. And God said, come on, Lord God Almighty. The sea and all that is in them is by his word. Who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his church. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, and for you anointed him to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Get this, a predetermined plan that God was going to do through his anointed son Jesus. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants with all boldness that they might speak thy word by stretching forth thy hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. You know what the devil's done? He's commercialized being saved, being healed, having miracles, and prosperity by unscrupulous men unto the church is almost denying salvation, doing away with healing, refusing prosperity, and not expecting miracles. Those things belong to us. When I was a young preacher in Philadelphia, I watched the charlatans come through there. And I got to where I wouldn't pray for the sick. I got to where I wouldn't believe God for a financial miracle because I watched these men taking these glorious things and making money off it. And God said, boy, don't you judge the method. You judge the man, but don't judge the method. God still prospers today. God still heals today. And because Satan has taken unscrupulous men and have warped those teachings, we have refused to apply them. And so therefore we're suffering. Brother David Wilkerson mentioned in one of the first chapters of his newsletter, of his new book, was that the Christian church is being torn apart today with defeat almost in every sense. And he said, and this should not be. Well, it really shouldn't be. Acts 10, verse 38, how God anointed. Remember, it says here, he was anointed to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Did you hear that? He anointed his son Jesus to do what God had already planned to do. And what did he do? Acts 10, 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost. And he went about doing good. Hallelujah. Healing, healing, healing. Some of them, a few of them, half of them, part of them. That's not the way the scriptures read. Healing all that was oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God's desire. 3 John chapter 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper, be in health as your soul prospers. The only thing wrong with the modern day teachers of prosperity is they emphasize the first two at the expense of the third one. That's all they do. They try to teach you that you can have health and financial blessings without spiritual growth. It cannot work. The root of that whole thing is spiritual growth. As your soul prospers. Beloved, God says, I wish, my desire above everything else in the world is that you have prosperity, that you enjoy prosperity. Somebody said, well, does that mean I have to have a lot of things? My friends, the people who have a lot of things are not enjoying prosperity. Prosperity is knowing how to enjoy what God gave you, whether it be great or small. The apostle, a psalmist David said to a young man, he said, be content with the wife of your youth. See, God gave you a wife. Be satisfied with her. Quit chasing her after everybody else. Now that's a modern term of prosperity. If God gives you a dollar, enjoy that. Spend it wisely. Handle it discreetly. Come on. You won't get no more out of a million than you get out of a dollar. If you have $1 million and you spend it foolishly, what good does it do you? And if you have a dollar and you spend it foolishly, you ever get beaten for a dollar? I have. Made me just as upset. Is it somebody? Yeah, I bought a freezer right here. I paid $400 for it. Good price. But now they got one on sale, 4 cubic feet bigger, for $100 less. Boy, it just turned me inside out. If I'd have just waited. Come on. Sometimes we get so anxious to have what we want, we won't wait on God. Won't give God a chance to be God. Hallelujah. He knows what we need. He's not going to withhold any good thing from them that walk. And health! The word health means free from sickness. Now, you know that as I was studying that verse of Scripture this morning, I thought of all the arguments pro and con. And you've got to understand, I've heard them. You've got to understand, I've heard the arguments for prosperity, for healing, against healing, for healing. I've heard them. But every way you can think about, I've heard. Do you believe that? So when you come up to me with any kind of a question, I say, oh, boy, I've heard that so many times. You know, one of the things they say to me is they say, what about Luke? Oh, I get so weary about Luke. Luke was a physician. No, he wasn't. He was a disciple of Jesus Christ. You would not have called Peter a fisherman after he met Jesus. Luke was a practicing physician before he met the healer. Just like you was a practicing sinner before you met the Savior. When you met that man called Jesus, the things you practiced, you gave up and started doing things right. But the word that struck to me in that verse is a word that we overlook. We think about the word prosperity, that you prosper, be in hell. Whenever they preach that scripture, they talk about hell. They talk about prosperity. Very few times do they talk about as your soul prospers. They hardly ever mention that. But the real key word, the one that jumped out at me this morning, was the word beloved. Now we narrow it down. Oh, they don't see it, Lord. Oh, they don't see it. This ain't God writing to anybody. Or everybody. Or nobody. Or somebody. Come on, Lord, have mercy. Why don't you say praise the Lord?
Praise
he said, be loved. That's an endearing term. That's an intimate term. That's a personal term. He's writing to somebody here. Here's a love letter to somebody special who's going to believe what he says, who won't doubt his words. Beloved! Romans chapter 9, verse 14. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I don't want you to forget the word beloved. Whatever you do, don't forget the word beloved. Okay? Everybody say, I won't forget it. Look at the person next to you and say, you go remember? All right. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. And that he might make known the riches of his grace on the vessels of mercy, which he hath afore prepared unto glory, even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. And it shall come to pass, that in the place where it was said unto you, unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Now, who's he talking to? Verse 25. I will call them my people, which are not my people. And her beloved, which was not beloved. Beloved. How do I make you understand you're loved of God? What do I got to do this morning? We talk about love so much, and most of us talk about our ability to love somebody else. But the real love is that somebody loves us. Now that is love. It ain't hard for you find loving people to love somebody else because you have love, right? But do you ever stop to think what it takes for somebody to love you? And that's what the Bible says. Herein is love, the Bible says. This is real love. Not that we love God. Or we go around and say, oh, I love the Lord. I love the Lord. Hey, that ain't no big deal. The Bible says, herein is love. Not that you love God, but that God loved us. That's love. And we love him because he first loved us. Be loved. Be loved. He said, look, I want to tell you, folk, nobody else will show mercy on you because you don't deserve it. Nobody else would give you compassion. So it's not he that showeth or he that hath the ability, but it's God who is the only one who can do it. He said, and I'm going to love people who I want to love. I'm going to read it for you again. I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which were not beloved. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I want you to remember the word beloved. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12. It reads like this. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for that which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you be rooted and grounded in love. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Beloved of God. God loves us. Somebody say, help me, Jesus. Reach over and touch somebody and say, do you know you're beloved? You know, as I started to write these scriptures down, I started to weep. I said, Lord, if I don't find a way by your Spirit to help these people understand what you're trying to do here this morning. There's many people sick here this morning. Teresa has not been feeling well. I haven't been feeling too good. Many people not well here. And these things ought not to be. And if we're just going to keep, Teresa often says to me, how you feeling? And I say, okay. You still got that pressure? Yeah. She says, why don't you get rid of it? She talks like me. She's heard me say so many times, just get rid of it. Well, is it that simple? Well, it's what you do about it. And so I decided this morning I would try to do something about it. Every one of us can be saved this morning, can't we? Every one of us can be healed. Completely, 100%, absolutely, positively, made every whit whole. Now, we got other things on our mind, other things we want to do, things more important than spend some time with the doctors or spend some time being sick. Or we can sit here this morning, hear the Word of God, and open up our hearts and receive it and cry out for mercy and be delivered. It can be. How often I would have gathered you together under my wing, but you wouldn't let me. The compassionate Christ. In Mark chapter 1, verse 40. Read on, please. And Jesus moved with compassion. And there came a leper unto him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me. He's challenging the will of God. Is it really God's will to heal me? Leprosy is incurable. Nobody's ever been healed of it. They tell me this man's a healer. I don't doubt that. I've heard of his great exploits. But is it his will to heal a leper? Lord, if thou wilt, you can make me whole. Jesus moved immediately to correct the man's misconception of his will. He moved immediately, and it was based on compassion. Read for me, please. Jesus moved with compassion, stretched forth his hand, and touched him. Read. And the word of the Lord was, I will. Does God ever change his will? Is Jesus Christ still compassionate? Is he still moved by compassion? The Bible says we have not a high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Think about it, honey. Every pain that you've been feeling the last couple of days, he's been feeling it. Think about it, brother. Every adversity you feel in your body, every mental anguish in your spirit, every oppression you feel upon you, he feels it. He's moved. He's interceding. He's pleading. He's crying. Hallelujah. And he says, if you'll give me a chance, I'll do something about it. Mark chapter 6, verse 34. And when Jesus, old Chris, remember those scriptures, huh? And when Jesus came out, he saw much people gathered together. Read. And he was moved with compassion. The word compassion means he was suffering with them. The other night, Teresa was rolling and tossing all night. She said, honey, it's not good for both of us not to get some rest. She said, you got too many things to do. I said, there ain't no way I'm going to sleep. There's no way I could sleep there with her trying to find a way to lay down on her back because of this thing in her neck. I was feeling her pain with her. The Lord moves with compassion. Let me get one point across to you today. Whenever he was moved with compassion, he was moved into the direction of deliverance.
Amen. Amen.
He wasn't moved away. Read for me, Brother Chris, again. And he was moved with compassion towards them, not away from them. And what did he do? Read. They were like sheep without a shepherd. And he taught them how to be delivered. Come on. Amongst many other things. Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Matthew 9, verse 36. Reads like this. And when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them. Because they fainted, they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Can you imagine preachers getting up with a congregation full of sick people and telling them that they're sick for the glory of God? They do it, you know. Well, if you're sick for the glory of God and it's God's will for you to be sick, then why go to a hospital to get well? If God wants you to be sick, then just be sick. And just go ahead and stay sick. Or they'll get up and tell you, God doesn't heal today. But doctors heal. No wonder the people are like sheep without a shepherd. You may be sick this morning. You may be in sin. But I'm going to tell you that God will save you. You may not get saved, but you come back next Sunday and I'll tell you again. Hallelujah! You may be sick this morning. Feeling pain, and I'm still going to tell you God will heal you. You may not get well, but if you come back next week, I'm going to tell you again, he's still a healer. Hallelujah. You can be free, Brother Barry. Lord God Almighty, he whom the Son sets free. Lord heaven, y'all better stay in that cold this water. Glory be to God. Praise the Lord. That's what made me so angry about that brother who canceled us out in our meeting. He keeps talking about deliverance. I was preaching deliverance, practicing deliverance, and living deliverance before he was even saved. He was to tell me, I don't know about deliverance. I guarantee you, very few of the people in America have even practiced faith the way we have for 30-some years without any pills, shots, or drugs. Stood by and watched my children go through test after test. People look at me and say, ah, you don't know what you're talking about. Get off my back. I watched my little boy fall 30 feet from a wall one day and cut his throat wide open. Like somebody jagged it with a knife. And the first thing I did to him was slap his face. Oh, you're crazy. Was I? Look at him look at me. Did that strange looks again. God healed the boy just like that. That was no problem with God. Healing's no problem with God. The reason I slapped the boy's face because he had disobeyed me. He had climbed up the wall and fell because he disobeyed me. Weren't you worried about the bleeding? Why? Why worry about what you can't do anything about? Let God do it. I stood there and watched my children have fevers and raging. I watched one of my little girls pull a clothes hanger about the size of that little baby right there. Pull a clothes hanger right through its little jaw. Big old hole right through its jaw. Living in a small truck. Just an old van truck living in the back of it, hot. No money, broke, preaching. Came in and watched the little girl's face swell and swell and swell and swell. And prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. Nothing happened for a long time. 10-15 hours I watched the little girl just roll and toss and cry and bawl and squall. But it wasn't my girl's life I was worried about. It was my faith in God. It wasn't my girl's body that was under attack. It was the faith that was under attack. Amen. You understand, the devil wins one battle of faith over you. He destroys you for the rest of your life. I can remember when that little girl laid there on a little old army cot about 3 o'clock in the morning, and finally I just put my head down. 20 years of age I was, a young kid. Didn't hardly know anything about God. And after wrestling all night long and crying and bawling, wondering why God wouldn't heal, watching little girl fever rise to the top, know all the things you hear about fever. Finally, I laid my head on the pillow, on the cot right next to her, and said, God, I can't go any further. I just can't. And I can tell you right now, that don't even mean nothing to God. He knows what you can go and what you can't go. He's the one that knows. And all I know is I fell asleep, and when I woke up the next morning, I looked at the little girl, and she was sound asleep, and her face had gone down, and where the hole was, where the little old piece of hanger had come through her mouth, where the hole was just a dimple, little old dimple. I think it's still there today. Somebody said, you took a chance. You never, 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 never take a chance with God. He is a sure thing. Hallelujah. The God of all flesh always does right. Always, always. Jesus never fails. But I know somebody who trusted God and they such and such so and so. Who cares? Let me tell you something. You throw this book away. First of all, you don't know the other person's life to give it an evaluation of judgment to the deepest extent. Everybody knows that even though Job was considered a perfect man in the sight of God, and when God finally got ready to heal Job, he had to deal with one thing that Job still had in his heart. Two things to be exact. Self-righteousness and fear. Job had both of those things. And even though God finally healed Job, before he could heal him, he had to first of all deal with his self-righteousness. And he had to deal with the fear. So, maybe you can sit here and wonder why God allowed Job to go on so long. But when Job finally was dealt with, he got victory, didn't he?
Amen.
Praise God. And when you finally get dealt with, when God finally works out whatever he's working, he'll bring the victory.
Amen.
And this morning, he's trying to do some of that with us right now. Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
You know what compassion is? It is the motivating love of God. Compassion puts God in action.
Amen.
Compassion puts God in action. God loves everybody. He don't move for everybody.
Amen.
Come on, people. He don't do things for everybody. He is moved with compassion upon those who love Him.
Amen.
You see, the love of God is dead unless it's restored. It's like you. You ever love somebody and didn't love you back? Have you ever loved somebody who didn't love you back?
Amen.
You notice how difficult that is? And every kind deed you do, every gentleness you show, is not accepted. You ever love somebody who didn't love you as much as you loved them, but they did love you, but they would do bad things to you, but because you loved them, everything they did was good? You'd accept it, you'd overlook it. We see, God loves humanity. Very few people accept that love. So it makes it very difficult for God to show or move in their behalf. But compassion is for His beloved. 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 Everybody say it. You know, I was sitting back there in my study, and I come across, and the Lord said, have them say the word. I said, why, Lord? He said, there's just something about saying the word. If they say it, it's kind of hard to say it tough. Because say it once. Beloved. Brother James, look at your wife and say, beloved. You know what it says? It says, be loved. Amen. Y'all missing it?
Amen.
Oh, beloved. We know it's an endearing term, but it has a meaning. Be loved. Come on and be loved. Be loved.
Amen.
Some of the black folk used to have a saying, they say years ago, they said, well, he loved me when I didn't even love myself. You ever hear that one?
Amen. Amen.
Huh? Be loved. Oh, what do I got to do? You know, what I got to do here this morning to make somebody like you understand what I'm just saying? God is saying, be loved. If you be loved, if you allow me to love you, if you will be loved, if you will let me love you, if you will allow me to love you, my compassion will move towards you, and my love towards you will bring health and strength, prosperity. Have you ever seen real love take? No, you haven't. No, I knew you all going to say, love seeketh not. So, again, we've allowed the world to screw up love. Come on, get it all twisted around. You will not see a person who has real love. See, most of the time you think your children love you or you love your children, but you don't. See, real love doesn't just give you anything you want. And real love doesn't expect everything you want. My wife don't want me to get my own cup of coffee. And a lot of times I don't want her to get it for me. I figured you wouldn't get it. She loves me and she thinks it's okay to take care of her husband. I believe that. I like that. But sometimes I love her so much that I don't want to see her always making my cup of coffee. Okay. Love is not always seeking to take advantage of somebody else. I told Brother Jeff the other night, how you think you love your mother? Oh, he probably swear in a stack of Bible he does. But every time Jeff wants some, he didn't care whether his mother was not feeling well or whether she was backed up against the wall or going through a problem. Jeff would holler, Mama, come and get me. Mama, come. That's not love. Real love would say, Mama, now you don't have to worry about me. I'm going to stay out of your way. I'm not going to cause you any trouble. I'm going to be obedient. Real love don't go around saying, God, do this for me and God, do that. You say, God, give me strength and I'll do it. God, show me the way and I'll do it. God, give me the ability and I'll do it. Come on, it's real love. My son one day, pastoring a church, Savannah now, he came running down to me one day at the church down there and he said to me, Daddy, he said, I want you to ask you a question. He said, but I want you to shut up and don't talk to me until I get this out. He said, you always talk back real quick. You know, folk are always on me because before they ever get their point out, I'm always jumping in on them. And the reason why I do that, because some of the things coming out of your mouth, I don't even want to hear. In fact, it shouldn't be coming out of your mouth. And if I can cut it off, because if it's causing doubt in your mind, it could cause doubt in mine. It's not coming from faith, you see. It's coming from doubt. Come on! And so sometimes I try to cut it off because you take, for instance, my good, I love Brother Pablo. I really do. Now he comes up to me with a little question in his heart, a little question in his mind. Well, I'm going to bend over backwards to try to help him understand. I might bend too far. Sister Mary Jackson in Boston one day was being fired from her job because she refused to take the health inspection. Now for years and years I taught them no doctors. All of a sudden now her job is demanding she's got to have a health certificate. She says, I won't do it. Then you're going to lose your job. So Mary Jackson comes to me one day. She says, Brother Stan, I'm going to lose my job. So I said, well, Mary, I don't think you ought to do that. I think you ought to go. Mary says, what? I said, all my life you told me not to do it. I said, wait a minute. I back away from that. Don't do it. I said, if you lose your job, we'll take care of you. See, because Mary was a good supporter, good friend. I tried to make it easier on her. And I started to back away from what I knew was true. Hello.
See, old Brother Ed, I'm so glad to see Brother Ed and his family coming out here. I want to walk a little soft, maybe so I don't say something to upset him. Or Brother Barry and his wife. Huh? But you see, sometimes they say, wait a minute, you can't do that. Lose him or not, here it goes, pow! My son said to me, he said, Daddy, I want to ask you a question. He said, but I don't want you to answer me until I get all done. He said, now I got my car sitting up here. He said, and it won't start. He said, the battery's dead and it won't start. He said, now I have got on my knees right there by the car. And I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, start my car. And it won't start. Now, didn't the Bible say, ask the Father anything in my name and I will do it? Now, didn't it say that? Hey, you hard head, doesn't it say that? Now, didn't he do it? He got on his knees and said, Father, in the name of Jesus, start my car. It won't start. He said, I went in the house and I got my wife and we joined hands. And we agreed, Father, in the name of Jesus, start this car. He said, it didn't start. He said, Daddy, so did the Bible say if any two of you on earth agree as touching any one thing, it shall be done? I said, yeah. He said, well, how come the car won't start? Good question, ain't it? I said, come on, son. He said, you ain't gonna tell me nothing. I said, ain't no sense telling you nothing about that. Just come on. So I got in my car and I drove up there and I walked over to his car. I reached in the back of my truck and I pulled out the jumper cables. I put one on there, one over there. I said, try it now. I said, thank you, Jesus. But God didn't help me. What do you mean God didn't help me? He added to my faith knowledge. I knew what to do. I went ahead and done it. God honored it. Doesn't it disgust you when your child asks you to do something you know they can do it? Doesn't that disgust you? Can you see a lazy husband sitting in front of a television with his feet propped up, with a fan in his hand, saying, honey, bring me a glass of iced tea, and she's out there. You all get the picture.
Amen.
Man love his wife and see her struggling with two or three kids trying to make supper. He wouldn't ask her to go get him a cup. Might even get her one.
That's right. All right.
Come on, you fellas.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Hey, that wife, you may need her sometime when you really need her. And you better take care of her.
My wife's been out here moving the horse around. I said, honey, please don't drive that stake. I'll drive that stake. I don't want her driving that stake and hurting her neck anymore. Because I want her to when I need that cup of coffee. I'm trying to use some practical applications. I'm talking about God's love is moved with compassion. You believe his compassionate move. It's his love. It's his feeling.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
You know what the results of compassion are? I'm going to read two instances. Matthew chapter 20. In verse 20, I want you to listen very closely after the results of compassion.
So Jesus had compassion on them. He always loved them now, didn't he? You don't doubt his love, do you? But all of a sudden, his love went into action. It was demonstrated with compassion. He had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight. And they followed him. Now you see, we all know that God loves us this morning. We just need a little act of compassion. We need him to get in action. To do something for us. And he'll do it. He'll do it if we'll give him an opportunity. You will not come to me that you might have life. How often I would have gathered you. Is this one of those often times? Down in the bookstore, the little poem. I wish I could remember it. In fact, I want to buy it. I'm going to try to remember because that is a beautiful poem. But it's a story of an old violin. And the violin was in an auction sale, Brother Ed. The old auctioneer, who was just an old, crude auctioneer, he didn't know a thing about it. He didn't know whether it was worth $5 or whether it was worth $10,000. He brought the old violin out, held it up. It was all beat up and it was all scratched up. He strummed a few keys, ding, 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 ding. He was all out of shape, all out of tune. He said, what am I bid? What am I bid? Am I got a dollar? Can I get a dollar? You know how to do, huh? Got $1, $2, $3, $4. He said, can I get $10? Nobody bid any higher than $10 for the old violin. Sitting in the back of the crowd was an old maestro, the master. He walked down first. He said, excuse me, sir. I said, may I have that thing? Took the old violin, stuck it to his chin, and ding, ding, and sat there and began to play. Played a song that seemed to quiet the whole crowd. The auctioneer here, what am I bid? Am I bid 10,000? 10,000, three. How about 20? 20,000, 20,000. And sold to the man for $50,000. What was it?
the touch of the Master's hand. Hallelujah. Boy, when the Master touched you, you became priceless. Piece of trash. Come on, nobody wanted to bid a buck for you. Come on, you're worthless. But the Master touched your life, they touched your body, and you become priceless. Don't let nobody fool you. Ain't nobody outbid the Lord. Woo! Lord God Almighty. He made the high need, brother. One old songwriter said, He bought my soul with His day. Huh? Come on, people. Hallelujah. Move with compassion. Move with compassion. How many times have I told a story of a little boy whose daddy loved that boy so much, he went out one day and got himself a whittling knife. And he whittled out a little boat with his own hands and made it so nice and put the little boy's name on the side and tacked a string to it. He said, Here, son, I made you a boat. Little boy, he looked at that boat. You made it me, daddy? Sure did, son. He said, It's all mine. It's all yours, son. Right down in front of the house is a little old bubbling brook. And every day the little boy would spend hours down at the old bubbling brook just letting his little old boat float up and down the creek with a string. Daddy made me this boat. But one day as he was out there playing with that little old boat, a flash flood came down, snapped the string out of his hand, and the boat was gone. As far as he could go, he run down the street. My boat, Daddy, I lost my boat. And the boat was gone. The boy cried and cried for days over that boat. Daddy said, I'll buy you another boat, boy. I'll take some money and buy the best boat that money can buy. I don't want no other boat, Daddy. I want the boat you made me. Well, I'll make you another one, Daddy. Daddy said, I'll make you the boy. Said, I don't want another one. I want the one you made me. I like that boat. Father made him another boat, bought him a boat. Nothing satisfied the boy. One day, walking through the town, they came to a pawn shop, and there in the window of the pawn shop was a little boy's boat. Daddy! There's my boat! Daddy said, Now wait, that's not yours, that belongs. Little boy run in the pawn shop, grabbed the boat out of the window. But it is my boat! It's my boat! And the man said, Wait a minute, son. Now, I don't know what you're talking about. So somebody come in here and I bought that boat. And if you want that boat, you're going to have to pay for it. Little boy said, But it's my boat! Father said, How much is it? He reached in his pocket and he paid the man for the boat. Held that boat to his bosom. He said, Little boat, you're mine twice. And the father said, Son, how can you be so sure that that's your little boat? He said, Look right here, Daddy. He said, When you gave me this boat, he said, I put my mark on it. That mark right there. He said, It's my boat. He said, It's mine twice. He said, What do you mean it's yours twice? He said, You made it, you gave it to me, but I lost it. He said, Then you bought it back and you gave it back to me. Now it's mine twice. Oh, hallelujah. He made you, Brother Ed, but he lost you. But then he paid the price and bought you back. I'm going to say amen. Now we're his. Oh, one old songwriter said, Now I belong to Jesus. Yes, sir. I'm a possession. Well, I wish somebody would act like you saved around here today. One old songwriter said, In loving kindness, Jesus came, my soul in mercy to reclaim. And from the depths of sin and shame, in love, he lifted me. You know what the Bible says? It said very rarely would a mother forsake her suckling child. But it does happen. The other day they found a little baby in a trash can. It does happen. A mother forsaking a child. It does happen. But God said, I'll never forsake you. Never. Never. Everybody say the word never. Never. Hallelujah. Look at the person next to you and say, Be loved. Isn't that a good word? Be loved. Be loved. I wish above all things that you prosper. This morning, if I heard God speak to me, His healing power is in this place. His delivering power is in this place. Why? Because His word is being preached. And the Bible said they went everywhere preaching the word. And the Lord worked with them, confirming the word with signs following. Somebody say, Praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Glory be to God. Mark chapter 9. And verse 20, look at this. Chapter 9, and they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the Spirit tear him. And he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked the Father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. Next verse. And oft times. And oft times. But if thou canst, can you do anything, God? Is there anything you can do? Can you do anything? If thou canst do anything, listen to it now. Listen, read. Compassion on us. And help us. The question once and for all. My next line. If thou canst believe, all things are possible. Hallelujah. Raise your hand and say, Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Hallelujah. Compassion. In Luke chapter 10, verse 30, I want you to listen. It reads like this. And Jesus answered, a certain man went down from Jericho to Jerusalem, from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, destroyed his body, and departed, and left him half dead. Ain't nothing more miserable than being half alive and half dead. But a certain Samaritan, I marked this down in a yellow pencil, but a certain Samaritan, Jesus of Nazareth, a good Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where the man was. Man couldn't get up out of the ditch. He was wounded, beaten, bleeding. And so Jesus came where the Samaritan came where he was. He found you. He came to where you were. Come on, yes, he did. He came to where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Look at this. When he saw him, when he had compassion on him, he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, set him on his own beast, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. Jesus reached down and picked you up and put you on his own way, on his way. And the Holy Ghost turned you over to the Holy Spirit and said, take care of him. And he said, I'm going to pay the debt. I always like this. He said, now I got to leave, but if I come back, if he owes you anything else, I'll pay that too. Never ceases to amaze me. The difference between, never ceases to amaze me in preaching today between now. I could have preached that 25 years ago and there would have been a church that says I'm rich and increased with good and I don't need nothing. I got a good job. I'm making money. I'm living all right. Don't be like that. Don't be like that. We need this. We need the passion of God today. I sit around here all the time and I say, Lord, I can't think of a material thing that I need. But oh, how my heart is craving for the Spirit of God, for the just a touch of. He wants to do it today. Mark 16, verse 18, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall. James 5, verse 14, is there any sick among you? Let them pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them. James 5, verse 16, pray ye one for another, that you may be healed. Somebody say amen. Psalms 103, verse 3, who healeth all of thy diseases. 1 Peter 2:21, by whose stripes you were healed. Hallelujah. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Matthew 8, verse 16. I always love this one. I'm going to close with this one. I always love this. Matthew 8, verse 16. You listening? And when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. He cast out the spirits with his word, all that were, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities, our sicknesses. I think if there's ever been a, before I started to preach so much about the end time, I was a divine healing preacher. 9 times out of 10, I took persecution for that. One day I went on a fast, just troubling my own soul. That's the reason you see me rise up today. I can't answer all this. I can't answer why I pray for some people and they don't get saved. I can't answer why I pray for some people and they don't get healed. I can't answer why sometimes I pray and some people don't get the kind of money they need. I don't know all those things, but I know it's my right to pray. One of my favorite preachers was named Jack Cole, and I've often told a story. He've often said, and they ask him the question, what would you do if you prayed for somebody and they dropped dead? Why should I step over and pray for them? Let me ask you a question. If you give up your faith in God, what do you got? If you don't believe God for healing, where are you going to get your healing? Kareem was sitting here the other day and he was discussing the problem that Teresa has with her neck. And he told about the time he had it. Now he went right down and got Bengay. And by his own mouth, he rubbed Bengay off. But it still hurt. So what was her choice? Wait on God or go get Ben Gay? If Ben Gay don't do it, save the money. I mean, you take Bayer aspirin and just as it wears off, the headache's still there. See, the devil's given us a bill of goods. Peter tried to straighten the whole thing out when he said, where can we go? You going to leave me? Peter said, I'd like to because you ain't doing so well right now. One of your bad days. He said, but where am I going to go? Can't go back to fishing. Why couldn't Peter go back fishing? Because his last experience was devastating. He didn't catch no fish. He had fished all night and didn't catch no fish. Ain't no sense giving you another $100 because the last one you spent too quick. What $1,000 do you any good, most of you folks? Wouldn't do you. It's not having more money. I never forget little old Sarah Ware. Brother Chris knows Sarah Ware. Little old Sarah Ware, little old black sister, about 70-some years of age in Savannah, Georgia, come to my church when I was pastor for years. And for years and years, Sarah made bootleg whiskey. She had no income at all. She would make bootleg whiskey. And I'd preach, boy, I'd preach against it and preach against it. And no, Sarah would walk up to me. She said, Brother Dan, how am I going to live? I know I should be making whiskey. She said, but I ain't got no money. I said, Sarah, you want me to help you? She said, what can you do? $20? She said, that ain't going to do me no good. I need a way to be free from this, to live without you taking care of me. And I used to bawl and squall over that because our church wasn't very strong and money wasn't that plentiful. And even to help Sarah, I couldn't help her enough. I didn't have enough money to help her enough. You understand what I'm saying? I could give her a little, but I couldn't give her enough. And I'd say, Lord, you got to help us. You got to help us. So finally one day, old Sarah was informed by the Social Security after years and years that she was entitled to a little Social Security check. All the whiskey stuff out the door. $8.30 a month, boy, just like that. 72 years of age when that started. Sarah started paying her tithe. Next thing you know, God gave her a job. Making $300 a week above her Social Security. A month. Above her Social Security. You remember this, Brother Chris? Making $300 a month above her Social Security. Now her tithe jumped from $8.35 or $8.50 to $30-some, and Sarah started kicking about giving the $30. You remember that one day? You come into that one day, and Sarah was in this. She had quit giving her tithe, and so they were threatening to cut off her check now. Everything was starting to go backwards again, and Sarah was to the brother, still, I said, don't ask me to pray, woman. Get out of my face. But brother, still, I said, look, you quit paying your tithe. Anything I can do for you? You're cursed. Tied the hands of God, I can't do a thing. Well, get out of my face, Sarah. Get away from me. I said, Chris, take her home. You remember that? Chris got in the car and she said, what am I going to do? He ain't going to pay. And I'm looting everything. Chris said, do what he told you. Before she got out of the car, she gave him $20. Sent it back to me, started paying her tithe. Just like that, God turned it around for her again. I never forget old Sarah. She said, Brother Scare, $38 a month for a 72-year-old lady is a lot of money. She said, does God don't expect a little old lady like me to give that much money? I said, does a little old lady like you expect God to keep on blessing her? Boy, how soon we forget, huh? I mean, a little while ago, she wasn't making nothing. Them over and over again. I guarantee you that's a very important point, whether anybody wants to admit it or not. You watch when people stop paying tenth. You watch it. And the hands of God ties right up. Because there ain't nothing but unbelief that makes. And when the devil gets you doubting God in one place, it ain't long he starts getting you to doubt. God's going to heal Teresa this morning. Going to touch me this morning. Ain't going to touch anybody else and heal anybody else who wants to be healed today. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That settles it. I believe it. The devil's a liar. That settles it. Amen. Now, somebody says, suppose I die, then die believing. You got to die believing. I can tell you what, the other night, in the middle of the night, old tree said, I wish I was dead. See, God can fix, so dying would be better than living. Yeah. You know, God can make dying pretty easy for us. Put enough pressure on you. Hallelujah. The last enemy, the last one we got to face, Brother Ed, is death. And we're going to win that one too. Yeah. And the old songwriter said, ain't no grave to hold my body down. Woo! Hallelujah! And the psalmist David, and the other, somebody say, praise the Lord. Psalmist David said, make me to know my end. And God said, you're going to die. He said, that's all right, Lord. He said, if I'm going to die, then let me die the death of the righteous. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I got a little piece of paper the other day from Market Analyst talking about the coming economic collapse again. The havoc was on television the other night on News Channel about what nuclear war is going to do. They're predicting in the first hour 100 million Americans will be destroyed, 150 million Russians. And I've told you for years and years right here that by the time the tribulation gets in full force, maybe you forgot that I've said it, but I've told you by the time the tribulation, which is a 3.5 year period, by the time it gets in full force, the United States and Russia will be non-entities. You've heard me say it. You may not have heard me, but you've been around me long. You've heard me say it. There will be non-entities. They will no more be major powers. They will neutralize each other, and they will just be has-been countries. Strong countries will be Europe and the Far East. America, David Wilkerson, in his little book, said this now. He said, almost every major city is going to be destroyed, along with Israel, is going to feel the impact of God's judgment. They're the only two nations that ever upheld God's name, and they have disgraced Him. Come on, God cannot require of Russia what He requires of America. Russia was not built on God bless America. Oh, God, come on, it was based on communism. Come on. You hear what I'm saying? America was based and blessed because they loved God, and now they're mocking Him. Got homosexuals in the pulpit, lesbians in the pulpit. Methodist Church just recently ordained a homosexual again. A couple of lesbians. Presbyterian Church. Put them in the pulpit. Let them run the churches. Don't let nobody fool you. It's doomed for judgment. And the only hope we're going to have is being in Christ. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I don't know how He's going to do it. I don't know how God can protect you. But I know He can. I'm not going to say amen. You know, I was out here the other night watering. You know how long it took to survive these storms? You're not going to the glory and the wind of glory and the train of practice going back and forth. You'd have thought you'd walk out of you with your blood on that day. Now, how many of you hung right off with it? Right. So I decided to see myself. I got no holes. I had little holes in the force on it. I turned right out of the train of power on that blood. Not a word of a move. All I can see is when that old storm comes, instead of them getting off the tomato plant, they use the tomato plant for protection.
Amen.
Right. Under His lead.
Right.
Under His wings.
Amen.
Under His wings, brother. His wings. Woo! He said, somebody, you put His wings. Somebody say it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Like the mother had. Amen. I'm kind of going to 28. They heard the crying of a little baby. They jumped into the breeze, and they found a mother with a little baby on the floor, and the mother, like this, dead. Mother was dead, but the child was dead.
Amen.
Come on, say it. Amen. Your mother knew the storm was coming, put the child out, tell the child.
Right, yeah.
And the storm fell, kill the old mother. Come on. Even their death will have to labor, even the fish of God in such a way that it would suffocate the child. Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. He was chastised for our peace. With His stripes were healed. Don't throw it away, saints. Don't throw it away. Don't give it up. Somebody said, you ain't never been sick? Many times. Most of the time. Sometimes it says to me, are you feeling well? I say, a lot of times I don't feel well. A lot of times. A lot of times, aches and pains. I've been going through something the last several weeks. It's starting to get, it's been getting better. Brother wrote me the other day, so I'm still praying for you. Well, my chest started twisting inside of my body. My whole spine was going like this. And at times I can still feel the bone structure inside me just twisting on me. Just twisting. And to my bones right there, sticking right out. The devil said, I'm going to kill you. I said, not here. He made me feel like I was dying sometimes, laying the pressure on my chest. But what's good saying something about it? I just hold God's own changing hand. Boy, at any time He wants to take me out of here, I'm ready to go. And I know He ain't going to let the devil kill me until it's time for me to go. You might just put on the whole armor and stand on it. You had a heart attack several times, haven't you? Twice? What? Slowed you down, didn't it? Huh? Went and got his heart fixed. He got his heart fixed and his mind made up. Remember? That's another one of those black things. My old black said, I got my heart fixed and my mind made up. Hallelujah. Well, what was that one, Brother Robert? Lord, have mercy. Praise the Lord. I wanted to bring you a bottle of oil, but I didn't.
What happened to my olive oil? You cooks come in here and get my olive oil? I want everybody to come and stand across the front, please. I won't pray long prayer. I'm going to go lay hands on you. I'm preach the word. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
I want Brother Chris and Brother Scott and Brother Ed, Brother Barry and Brother Robert. Would you lay hands on them? Honor our prayer. Honor our faith today. We agree together. In our physical body, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We receive the deliverance today. Receive the healing today with the power and the glory of God. Hallelujah. We claim the promise. We hold back the flesh of our faith. We claim to give their lives. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Oh, he touched me. Yeah, he touched me. And the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole.
Praise God. Heavenly Father, I take dominion and authority over this oppression in the system. I charge this malfunction of the spine and the nerve to be quickened by the Holy Ghost. I take dominion over the oppressing demonic force and command the oppression to be broken in the name of Jesus through the shed blood of Calvary. We thank you. You're alive, devil. You're alive. The Lord rebuke you. I stand opposed to your power and your strength. Be now bound in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I pray, Lord, God, for each one today. In the name of Jesus, Lord, every child, every grown person, I pray for the healing power of God to flow in each body. My sister Shirley, Lord, let the mighty glory of the Holy Ghost. In her blood system, Father. I can send her iron deficiency here. And I pray in the name of Jesus that you heal and in her all by your holy power. In the name of Jesus, my sister, Lord. Oh, we're so thankful that you brought us so far, Lord, to gather with the faith. But I pray today for a new touch. Mind and soul and body. Heal this body from prison order, of every malfunctioning, of every disorder. Let her faith be stronger than it ever is. In the name of Jesus, and the binding of the power of the world of darkness. In the name of the name, I can't get the money for the next time. In the name of Jesus, I pray for the sick and Lord, Father, will move upon this fire, and bring us in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for Brother Red right now. We're thankful for the man, for his testimony, and his preacher ministry, and I pray that you will cause him to grow in the knowledge in the name of Jesus. I pray the functioning of these organs to come alive. Oh, the functioning of the Mohammedan from the higher head to the sole of her feet. I pray the light of God. Oh, God, if you place your hand on it, and oppress it in a new way, and give them strength and courage to keep working on. In Jesus' mighty name, Lord, I pray for Mary today. Oh, God, that is my brother. Strength the young one. Today, Lord.
Touch him out to take care of his little child. Give this young man a special anointing. And the brother and sister in the back and the young man. Oh, I pray for them, Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I charge you, Satan. Loose your hold. Loose your hold. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. By His stripes we're healed. By His grace we're saved. We take dominion and authority. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Now you want to do one more thing before you're dismissed. Do James 5:16. Pray one for another. That you may be here. Just pray for each other. Go ahead. Just pray for each other. Hey. Go ahead and pray for each other. Bless you, Sister Henrietta. Just go ahead and pray for Ed. Pray for somebody. Just your own way. Pray for each other. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, set it free, yes, Lord. Let it all take away the craving and desire, Lord, for the troubling man, Lord. Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Hey. Praise the Lord, son. Pray for that young man, Scott. Pray for that young man that's in the ball and scoring. Right there he is. Hey. Right here. Pray with him a little bit. Oh my, the young man. The young man right there. Put your arms around Brother Scott then. Pray with him a little bit. Amen. Just pray a little bit with him. Go ahead. Put your arms around. Hug him a little bit. That's right. Let him feel that Christian heart. Oh, Lord, your faith. If it does, put faith alive. Hey, glory be to God. Glory be to God. Amen. You see, we can't have Sister Linda, Sister Henrietta bound by that sugar diabetes when that tribulation.